I think, pretty much just wrap up this series on things you can count on when you can't count on anything. It's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Next week, we'll be joined with Marne Church, and they're not going to understand it, you know. But the topic will be something about freedom, you know, because it's July 4th. But it'll be something that you can count on without counting on anything. And I might have some of these goofy things, but I won't ride that theme, you know. This is going to be it for us a little bit. What we've been looking at are promises that you can count on. You can't count on anything these days, right? Things are just changing all the time. In fact, they'll say the only things you can count on are change or actually death and taxes are like actually the things that you can count on. But we've been doing a social media campaign, and that's what I count on. Kind of funny things that you can kind of count on that either go wrong in your life or be inconvenient for you. For instance, like the the UPS delivery person will need a signature just as about you're about to step in the shower. Isn't that the way that goes? Every traffic light will be red when you are running late. That's something that you can count on for sure. How about this one? You will run into your ex at the grocery store when you're looking your absolute worst. Those things are things you can count on for sure. Christina Tharp said this one. Christina's husband is a commercial pilot. She said her daughter Vera will only get sick when her dad's flying. Isn't that the case? Yeah. Mariah said that her husband will make friends with the server wherever we go, and then we'll get free ranch dressing. So you can always count on that, Mariah. Charity, this one's for you. She said, I can count on my kids saying, we can put you in the home or the good home. It's up to you right now. So Charity, congratulations to you. $5 gift card. Congratulations. I'll visit you in whichever home. It doesn't matter to me. I hope it's a good one for you, though, where they give you the good peaches and cottage cheese. So these are things that you can count on when you can't count on anything. But these are fun ones. You know, those are just fun things. Those are life things you can count on. But what we've been talking about are the promises of God. Promises that God has for us that you can count on. And it's a good thing we've not been talking about the promises that man will have, because we don't keep promises very well. In fact, you can kind of count on that. If somebody makes a promise to you, depending on the person and who that is, you might know that that person is not going to keep that promise. It's a human condition kind of thing. It's sad, but it is a reality that we don't keep our promises that well. But God always keeps his promises to us. And this week we're talking about God's promise to not give us any more temptation than what we can handle. I think I wrote it that way. What did I write on there? What's the next slide there? God's not going to give you more temptation than what you can handle. All right, the scripture verse that we're going to look up actually has been distorted to say this instead: God won't give you more than you can handle. Have you heard that phrase before? Maybe you've said it before, especially in the hard time, like, well, God's not going to give me any more than I can handle. It's actually a lie. That's a lie. Here's what it actually says. Here's 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, meaning everybody's been through the same kinds of temptations. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. But that verse has been distorted to say that God will not give you anything more than you can handle. So before we talk about the specifics of the promise that you can actually count on, let's address this fallacy that's out there in Christian culture. Before we get into that, let's just say God will consistently give you more than you can handle. All right, you're going to get that. That's called faith. It's called faith when you're stepping into a place that there's no way I can possibly do this on my own. Guess what? You're getting more than what you can handle. And God is saying, come here, rely on me, trust in me. You'll go through things that are more than you can handle because God wants you to rely on Him. You have to face things that are difficult. You have to face things where you say, the only way I got through that is because God was with me. So, can we get rid of the language? Let's just stop saying God will not give you more than you can handle, and let's do it properly. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle, or the scripture says what you can bear. I think that in and of itself is a pretty awesome promise. I think we can hang our hats on that one. I think that's a good one, because temptation is something we all deal with. He says it is common to mankind. Guess who was tempted? Jesus. Even Jesus was tempted. I don't remember what Sunday it was particularly, but early on, right after the Easter time frame, we did a series of discipleship, Road Marks of Discipleship, and we talked about Jesus' temptations and how to handle temptation. So I don't want to go through all of that again. That's not what this sermon is about. This sermon is about that you're not going to get any more temptation than what you can handle, and He provides a way out. But Jesus went through three specific temptations that are common to mankind. We called them appetite, ambition, and affirmation is how we called them. Appetite, he was walking in the wilderness for 40 days and he didn't eat anything. Surprise, surprise, he was hungry. And so one of the temptations was, Satan came up and was like, hey, look at that rock, you can turn it into a piece of bread. And he's like, no, man cannot live by bread alone. He met it with a scripture verse. And Satan tells him, hey, you're the Son of God. You ought to be powered. You ought to be worshipped. And you should have that kind of power. So the same temptation happens to us too. We misplace power and authority. And sometimes our ambition makes us step on other people so that we can be elevated and maybe even in a sense worshipped. And the last temptation was to test God. To tell God, if I do this, God, then you're going to do that because you love me, so therefore you will do this thing, and it's going to work out because you love me, right? So this is kind of a temptation that we all face. Jesus faced them. We face those things. How many of you would agree with me and say, I face temptation? We have 7. Okay, no, it should be all of you, all of us. We raise our hand. We all face temptations of some kind or another. And I don't care how old you are. I used to think, well, when I got old, then I won't care about sin as much, or I just won't be tempted. Sorry, temptation and senility, you know, like aren't like two separate things. Like even it doesn't matter how old you are, you still have some kind of temptation. But God promises us that when you are tempted, it will not be beyond what you can bear. In other words, God does not set you up for failure. He gives you a way out so that you can endure it. Now, Joe, we talked briefly before. If you want to talk, give a small testimony, or did you kind of give that already? That's another day. Okay. All right. So Joe, he mentioned it. He had alcoholism in his life. Maybe still does. But that's a specific temptation. Is it okay if I say that? Like, that you have. And it's not a temptation that I necessarily deal with, although it runs in my family. So I tend to stay away from it just in case, you know, because I know that it's there. I don't want to waken it up. So those temptations that Joe struggles with are different than temptations that I have, but we all deal with some kind of temptation. Here's what a definition, I guess, of what we could use. Let's see. Temptation is to induce to do something to be strongly inclined. Like, I'm inclined to do this thing. I kind of want to. I feel like I kind of maybe almost need to. And then another way, to entice to do wrong by promise of pleasure or gain. In other words, that's the kind of the negative side of it. A lot of times we don't think about temptation to do good things. Usually the temptation is to do something bad, right? But there might be something positive that makes you feel good about that, or something that is a little bit of a reward. That's generally what we know of as temptation in kind of, bigger language. And for the most part, like I said, we think of it as bad, or the second definition, to entice to do something that's wrong. But in the Bible, the word temptation is this word translated, or the Greek word is peirazo, all right? Test or trial to accomplish a purpose of God, entice towards disobedience, seduce towards sin. But always with the idea of, like there's something that God can use out of that. Even in the midst of temptation, maybe God's not presenting you the temptation, but he can use that process. Even with Jesus in the wilderness, Satan was allowed to tempt Jesus, but God used those moments to help him grow. Now, I think we have to be careful about saying God tempted me, because God doesn't do the tempting, all right? James chapter 1, 14 says, but each one of us is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. It comes from within, all right? That God isn't up there like, I'm just going to put this little carrot out there and test you and see if you obey me or whatever. But God can use the temptations that are already latent within our hearts to build us up. Temptation comes from within, and it's exploited by our own desires. It doesn't come from God. It comes from ourselves. However, God uses it. Are we clear on that? Okay, we're clear. Temptation, I think at its core, is a test of our dependence on God. Am I going to trust God to fulfill me, or am I going to fulfill myself in this way? Whether it be the appetite, the ambition, the affirmation, to use the language we used a couple months ago. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, the original temptation of Adam and Eve. You remember that story? Even if you're not in the church that much, like you kind of know like the Adam and Eve story, the little serpent comes up. Hey, you should try this fruit of this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Try it. Because if you try it, then you will be like God, all right? And there's another promise there. You're not going to die, all right? Because God had told him, you can eat of anything that you want in this garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if you do, you surely die. That was the threat. Serpent comes along, no. That's not the case. You're not going to die, but in fact, you'll be like God. And so Eve, she eats of it, and then she brings in Adam on the sin too. Like, so she's tempted by it, and she's tempted really to misplace her dependence from God to self. I don't need God if I'm like God, right? Why should I not do this thing? If I could just be like God, then I don't even need God anymore. So temptations are generally a temptation that misplaces our trust and our value from God and puts it on ourselves. I think, again, God does not orchestrate those temptations, but he allows us to go through them. It comes from inside. God doesn't put us into temptation, but he allows those temptations to happen so we can be a part of his purpose. All right. Now, there's two things to this. There's a problem, and then there's a solution. Temptation is a problem, but we have a solution, and there's two solutions in the Scripture. So here's the problem. First of all, we all have temptation. It's universal. We've discovered that, right? Everybody raise their hand. We all have temptation. But it comes from an area of weakness that we have within us. Because all of our temptations are different, so all of your weaknesses are different. Mine is different than yours. Yours is different than mine. We don't have the same kind of temptations. I don't have the same kind that Joe faces on a daily basis. He doesn't have the same as mine. My temptations come in areas where I have weakness, like the kitchen table. That's a place where I have weakness. I overindulge consistently. I eat too much. On the roadway, where there's idiot drivers all around, all the time, I'm tempted to wave at them. Your temptations come in your area of weakness, and they may or may not be like mine. And honestly, I don't have a weakness in a particular area. I'm not tempted. It just doesn't bother me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that the things that I have problems with, you're just like, why would you even be tempted that way? Because you don't have that weakness or whatever. You know, like let's use a food example, chocolate. Some people just cannot help themselves around chocolate. They'll just overindulge. That means nothing to me. I don't care about chocolate. I get to eat it, but it just doesn't. Now put peanut butter with it, and now we got a problem. All right? I'm gonna overindulge in that. So we're not the only ones who face this issue. You look throughout the Bible's full of human beings, just like you and I, who have faced temptations that were common to mankind, just like the rest of us. Adam and Eve, I mentioned them in Genesis chapter 3. Gideon, the story of Gideon, I think it comes from Judges 6 through 8. He was tempted to trust in the might of his army rather than on the might of God. And God kept saying, no, bring the level of soldiers down. You don't need this many. Just trust in me. David and Bathsheba. David was not where he was supposed to be. Instead, he's on top of his roof and looking out. He's like, there's this hot woman bathing naked over there. Like, that was his area of weakness. He was tempted and he succumbed to it. Daniel was tempted to eat the king's food and not follow the pattern for life that was laid out for him. Disciples were tempted to sleep while Jesus was praying. Remember that story out in the garden? Peter was offered money to do work of the Holy Spirit. He was tempted with that. Paul warns Timothy about the love of money. So you're not alone in your temptation. Like, kingpin people of the Bible, like bigwigs, were tempted to fall. So we all experience it. Now, hopefully right now you're thinking of the temptation that you might have, like a weakness that you might have in your life. I want you to be thinking about yourself. Don't think about your spouse or your brother or sister. Like, think about you, all right? Here's your area of weakness, not your kids or your parents, whatever. There is a problem, and you face this problem every single day. I know you do, because you're human. But there also is a solution. Thank God that this message isn't just about the problem. There is a solution as well. God gives us a promise. 2 Peter 2:9 tells us, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. Hebrews 12:18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, meaning Jesus, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus wants to help us. He's able to help us. And he knows how to help us because he faced it too. Joe said at the beginning of the service, he said, people who have been in recovery can help others who are in recovery, right? Like, I want to know that someone who's been through this before knows how to handle this with me. Jesus knows how to handle it too. So our promise for today, let's read it again. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You've not had anything bigger or worse or more special than anybody else. I'm sorry. It's been common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And really, there's two promises there. No temptation beyond what you can bear. And two, there will be a way out. You can find a way out. So let's look at them individually. No temptation beyond what you can bear. That's kind of hard to believe when you're in the midst of temptation, though, isn't it? Because you're like, man, I really feel like doing this thing. It's hard to believe that God won't give you beyond what you can bear. So if that's a true promise, why does it feel like we have to succumb to temptation? If the promise is that we should be able to bear it, why do we fail? Why do we even fail? I think a couple reasons. One, because we don't take God at his word. Sometimes we don't actually believe it. We don't really trust it, so we don't take it seriously. And two, because temptations generally come in our area of weakness, it really makes it that much harder to resist. It's a big news flash here. Sometimes sin is fun. It just is. I said that at one time at Marne, and I got a little grief about that. But it kind of is. Some sins are fun. But in short, God will not allow you to be in a position of guaranteed failure. You might say, oh, Dave, I thought you said God doesn't cause temptation. You're right. I did say that. He doesn't cause it. He does allow it. He allows it, but he limits it to the abilities of what you can stand. When you're in the moment of temptation, you might think it's more than you can bear. It's easy for you right now to say, yeah, I'll overcome that temptation. Well, wait till you're tired or hungry or in a bad mood or running late or whatever your time of weakness is, and then it's a lot harder to bear against it. You might think it is too much to bear, but you're wrong. You're just simply wrong. You can bear it. Otherwise, God would be a liar. And I know you don't think God's a liar. God doesn't allow you to be in a position of failure. When you face a temptation in a particular area of weakness, then last week's promise might come into play. Remember last week's promise? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And the writer goes on to explain, in our weakness, that's when God is shown to be strong. In my weakness, he is strong. Therefore, I can withstand this temptation. I can bear this thing. It's not too great for me to bear because I have God with me, strengthening me. So, it's not going to be too great for you to bear. Secondly, there is a way out. God also promises a way out. It's like, really? There's a way out? How am I supposed to get out of this? And a lot of people think that really, like, the way to get out of temptation is just to succumb to it. Like, I'll just give in. Right, you give in to the temptation, now there's no more temptation. At least for right now. Right? Until it comes up again. You know what I mean by that? Like, feel that temptation? Go for it. No more temptation for now. But that's not really a way out. That's relief. All right? That'll give you a temporary relief. Relief and a way out or a way of escape are two different things. There is a wrong way to relieve a temptation. We'll often face the same temptation over and over again until we find a way through that temptation rather than simply running from it. William Barclay says the word for a way of escape that's in the scripture here, he says really it's a mountain pass with the idea of an army being surrounded by the enemy and then suddenly seeing an escape route to safety. It's not necessarily an easy way, but there is a way out to escape that temptation. And the way of escape doesn't lead us to a place where we escape all the temptations. That's in heaven alone. We'll continue to have temptations, but it does lead us to a place where we can bear temptation. Being tempted is not sin. Surrendering to temptation can be sin. I don't like the cheesy pastor stories. You know, cheesy pastor stories? They have no personal connection to the story. It's just a story. Well, I've got one for you today. I don't do them very often, but so is at a little grocery store or market. A little boy standing by candy. It looked like he was gonna take some of that candy and put it in his pocket, and just walk out the door. And the clerk watched the boy for a little time. You know, just kind of keep an eye on him. Finally, the clerk speaks up. He says, "Looks like you're trying to steal some candy, young man." And the boy says, "You're wrong, mister. I'm trying not to." So for the time being, he was able to bear up that temptation. And probably one way to escape it would be to walk out the door, you know. But at some point, that little boy's going to figure out how to walk by the candy aisle and not grab some. We have to be able to bear up through it. We are not compelled to sin. We do not have to sin. You are not locked in on sinning. It feels like that chain is around you. We sang the song Chain Breaker. He's a chain breaker. You do not have to succumb to your temptations. There is a way out. But what does it look like? And I just thought I'd give you some steps. Like, here's a way out for you. And I got like seven of these things. I don't expect you to know them all or have them in your front pocket when it's time, that temptation, but maybe something will stick. The first thing is, what's your persuasion or motivation? What's the why behind this temptation that you're facing? Why am I facing this? Why is there a weakness here for me? What is it that's within me that I keep coming to this thing? What's the persuasion of that? And then what's the plan? What's my plan for getting out of this? Recreate the moment, whether you're at work or at home or alone by yourself or wherever. Recreate that area of temptation so you can create a plan. And don't do it at the time of temptation. You won't be able to follow a plan or create one at the moment. You got to do it outside of that moment. Create a plan and then work the plan. Thirdly, practice. Conquering temptation becomes easier the more you do it. Just like giving in to temptation becomes easier the more you do it. So work the plan and predict it. Look ahead to see disastrous consequences for falling into that temptation or the sweet consequence of obedience. So predict what will happen. Pray about it. Go to God. Ask God for a way out and to bear with you through those times together. Partner with somebody. Find somebody that you can trust that will help keep an eye on you and keep you accountable. Talk to them regularly. Here's how it went this week. I fell into it again. Well, what's your plan to do better next time? You have somebody there to help you, walk with you through it. And then lastly, pick out a scripture. Every time Jesus was tempted, he responded with a scripture verse. So you have a scripture verse that you can rely on when you're facing that particular temptation. I'd be surprised if you all remembered all those things, but maybe something will stick with you today, and when it comes time to temptation, you'll say, I need a plan. I need a plan, and I need a partner. I need somebody that's going to help me through this thing. I think we all could use some tools to help us when temptation comes. And even though temptation can be really hard in the moment of it, maybe it's easier to remember that no temptation that you have is uncommon to anybody else. We all face temptations. And God is not going to give you any more than you can bear. God will provide you a way out. And that's what you can count on when you can't count on anything else. Let's pray. God, as we all face temptation as brothers and sisters in Jesus, help us to love one another through it, to recognize that we all have a weakness. We're not going to judge anybody because of what they're going through. Shame on us if we do. But give us the courage to be open about what our weaknesses are and how we struggle with things here and there. And really, you know, we try to rely on ourselves to get through things because we're embarrassed by it. But help us to rely on you. Help us to trust in that promise that you will not give us anything more than we can bear and that you will provide us a way out. That way out might be through a trusted friend or talking to a fellow believer or somebody that's walking the road with us. But help us to be able to have confidence that they're not going to judge us, but they're with us. All of our desire, our heart, is simply to be transformed in the image of your Son, Jesus, who went through temptation, but was able to navigate temptation without falling into it. So be with us as we do the same. Help us when we fall. Help us when we face it. Help us when we go through it well. God, be with us as we leave here today. We're going to rejoin again on a favorite national holiday at a different location. And be with us as we join in worship with a whole other church and as we become brothers and sisters together for a couple hours to fellowship and worship you. Be with us as we encounter life in the intervening week, that we can hold on strong to this promise that you'll not give us any temptation beyond what we can bear. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all this morning. We'll see you next Sunday out at Marne Church.